hamburger joint over on his side of town. And within 5 minutes, I was going to Cambodia. 5 minutes later, we were best friends. And we have been working together intimately in the work. I go over there regularly and work with him on Skype, teaching students, and work with him on all the projects we have going. And he is a phenomenal man of God. I'm going to show you a video on him in just a moment, and then I think when you meet Sacombe, you will love him like I do and like so many others do. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love for us that is beyond our comprehension. And we thank you especially for the love you have for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and for your mercy and your grace and your patience and your kindness toward us, and for your love for the lost, and for your love for those who are downtrodden and outcasts and those with great disadvantages in this world. And we know, Father, that the people of Cambodia come to the front of that list. We pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless that work. We pray you'll bless Sacombe, bless all those who are involved in Cambodian Christian ministries. And we pray that you'll bless our evening together tonight, that our hearts will be touched in a great way by this presentation. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Soon after the Vietnam War, the Khmer Rouge took control of Cambodia. Pol Pot, the leader of the Khmer Rouge, forced about 2 million people in Phnom Penh to the countryside to undertake agricultural work. It was a massive interrogation. They wanted a rural, classless society in which there was no rich people, no poor people, and no exploitation. They set up policies that disregarded human life and produced massacres on a massive scale. The country became a huge detention center, which later became a graveyard for nearly 2 million people during the 4 years of their Holocaust. This became known as the Killing Fields. In the midst of all this horror and genocide, God was preparing a man who would deliver his good news of salvation years later, Sacombe Hun.
My dad and my mom and sister and brother come to the same time. But the screen I see how who work with the, they call Lon Nol government that forced him out from the power. So they put me to one spot, then they asked the question. Then I say, I'm just a student, I'm a young man. One of the, my co-worker, he comes and know, you've been served as a commando with American. Then they just get mad, scream at me and get a rope tied my arm back, then they kick me in the pit. But somehow, another man walk in, he said, must be in charge, and say, pull that young man back, then pull me back. And say, don't kill him, just in the rice field.
Sacombe's life was spared, but 16 members of his family were killed.
At that time, I am in prison. I did not know much at all, and I do not see it. But my cousin told me they take my brother, my sister-in-law, and two, one's knee, one's nephew, five and 4 years old. They told me, say they take him and torture the whole family. Next day, one of the guard, they bring the clothes to me and they say, you got to use it, this is your brother's clothes. And I cannot deny, I cannot say no, I got to use it. And he said, remember, if you do anything fully, you couldn't be the same your brother.
Sacombe was imprisoned for 2 years, working in the rice fields by day and shackled in ankle irons by night.
I got all kinds of disease, malaria, diarrhea, and starving. I eat grass to survive. this pond here have been execution pond. When the prisoner talk back or do something against with the Angka, they call Angka, the government is, you know, sometimes they not kill right away. They as a prisoner come and stay watching, and they just do it and cut the hand and throat, so make the prisoner cannot escape, too scared to stay in the place. And this the most for me is a bad place.
In 1979, the Khmer Rouge was overturned. Sekhom and his wife escaped to Dallas, having to leave their 1.5-year-old daughter with her grandparents in Cambodia. He became a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. 25 years later, he would return to the people who had tortured and executed his family members with the good news that had changed his life. One of his sisters had survived the massive massacres. Listen to her plea to the remaining man in the family.
In 2005, I come back to Cambodia, take my children and my family to come to visit a family here. That time I brought some rice, medicine, and mosquito net. Go to my hometown near to Vietnam border. My older sister, that older than the one they killed, he says, "Come, remember, you only the man in the family, all the men in the family. You need to take care of family." She say, "You need to pay back." I say, "No, sister. Not succumb before. I am changed. God changed my heart. I cannot do it. Because 3.5 million people been died when I hear the gospel. And I feel ashamed myself. I hide myself in U.S. for 29 years. I can see that God been spared my life for the purpose of God why I'm come back to Cambodia."
And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Join in the sending of the good news to Cambodia by the beautiful feet of Sekhom Hun, God's messenger.
We welcome our brother Sekhom Hun.
When I come to United States, when I look back to my life during the killing field, the word is killing field I never dreamed they would know exactly how the word say the killing field. The field is, the Cambodia is 85% the people live in Cambodia is a farmer. And the farmer, they work in all its rice field. In 1975, in April 17 or April 1975, when the Pol Pot in win the war, they say American lost the war, but they just do not know. Anyway, when they took over, you see the picture there, they move all the people from the city like ghost town. So in that time, I am just 18 years old, and when I'm in the prison, they put all the prisoners working at daytime. They start from 5 o'clock all the way to 6 o'clock. Then they bring you back and they lock up. But during in the field working, they give us a little food to eat. So some people, they die on the field, they left out there. And not burying, just left out there. You can tell when they plant the rice, they put us work on the rice. When they plant the rice, and the rice turn blue in one spot, that is human body. We talk about, I have my dog with high cancer and dies. We bury our dog, put in a nice place. I look back, 3 years, 8 months, 20 days, the people die in the field, nobody care. My life is struggle. When they move the people out from the city, when they screen it to the point I cannot imagine this, how scared I am. You see that hole, the word said, dig your own hole, dig your own grave. I know they're going to kill me, but how I going to dig my own grave to bear my own self? On that time, I lost my father the same place. I see the people taking the kill, including my father, in the same spot. They kick me into the hole where I'm digging my own self. When I look to the scripture in Philippines, I like that Paul, he wrote in, whatever you do, work at it from your heart as you're working for the Lord, not for your own human master. I even not know, is God working with me in that time? I am call myself a Buddhist believer. But I dig on my hole, dig my own grave. I able to do it because I'm scared to death. Anyway, I'm scared to death, but I know I'm going to die anyway. But I learned that if I not dig on my hole, they're going to put me, just throw me outside there. So just dig my hole. Again, the killing field is my experience to live through it. Today, I have privilege, my family sitting here. I have my daughter, it's part of it. My brother-in-law, he been in the prison with me. He worked in a rice field, digging irrigation. Come to work in Phnom Penh, they shoot me with AK-47. They miss with the 40 bullet. They caught him, beat him, put him in the prison again. I have my sister, So why her husband been kill her husband, and her son there, my nephew. I carry him across the jungle. Take us 1 month to travel from Phnom Penh to the border, about 200 miles. Come to the jungle, my wife, pregnant with my daughter, 4 months. We cannot go to the border, but somehow I carry him in put in a backpack, but not backpack. Don't have no backpack, but he's just a backpack. But we get into the camp to reunion to his mother. Anyway, go back to Cambodia. In Cambodia, with 3 years, 8 months, and 20 days, seemed like 40 years in wilderness when I read the story of Moses. More than that, the Israelites, they have plenty food, meat. I had to eat grass, eat leaves to survive. All kind of disease, miserable. I have disease from Agent Orange, that 1968, 69, that American war in Vietnam. I live just about 10 miles from the border, so the B-52 dropping and the Agent Orange spreading, killing the tree. So the water buffalo eating grass, eating tree, had to see. I had infected. At the night time, I sneaking out, cut the meat, try to eat and survive. I cut my hand, I have infected. They put me in the field. I have a coma in there. I do not know how long I've been in the field. I walk up, someone wrapped my hand with the herb, Chinese herb medicine. I do not know who it is. When they released me, not released, they scared from the fighting from Vietnam, 1978. When they released us from the prisoner, we managed to get out from prison. I am 19 years old, cannot walk by my own, just bone and skin. My sister fed me when I come back to the farm, to the village. So from that time, in 1975, go through 1979, like a 40 year, I say. Then 1979, November 1979, I heard a refugee camp open in Thailand. So my sister, she went out and take one child. So I have two child left. I have to take care of him. So when I go to the Thailand again, there is camp, but the camp spread all over. So when I get there, I am a Buddhist follower, my parent, my great-grandparent. But when I go through the camp, I see American, see the Western people, Europe people coming to help refugee. Then I ask them who they are. They say, I am a Christian. Everyone, they call themselves Christian. I never heard the word of Christian at that time. I say, what do you mean Christian? Say, we follow Jesus Christ. Why you come to helping us? Because the love of God. That because the love of God. I never heard that word before. So the word keep in my mind, my heart. I look around the fellow Buddhists, no one around me come to helping me. I look back, my parents, me, follow Buddhists. The people believe in Buddhists, no one show up to help when I need. So the word Christian keep in my heart. When I come to Philippines, I see a lot of Christians there. No Buddhists come to help refugee again. when I go to the Dallas in cold time. In Cambodia, the weather is 100 degrees, 110 humidity. So when I come in Dallas in first week of March, still cold. So very cold, no clothes, just a little slight shirt and pants. But again, I see the Christian bring me clothes, bring me food. I say, why they do this? They say, the love of Jesus Christ. That going to my heart. One night, one evening, well, go back, my daughter, Seaborn and Rivishi came. A little bit to eat, my wife's bread feed her. So we do not know how to eat hamburger or American food. So we eat rice all the time. So it's been a long day, a week, and we cannot eat American food much. So we're hungry. I stay on the street looking for help. I learned a little English in the refugee camp. The people teaching us in the camp, when you go to the United States, you need to watch a stranger. So again, they said, if you looking for help, only the Christian people, you can ask for help. That keep in my heart again, Christian people. So I stay on the street. I see, I read a little English on the side of the white van. It say, Highland Park Church of Christ. And I wave the hand, and he coming, pick me up. I don't know what day and that time. So they put me in the church, feed me, give me clothes, bring me back to apartment. Next day, take me again. I said, who this guy? Who these people coming to help? Again, the love of Jesus Christ. So I've been in the church from that day. Later on, I find out that day is Wednesday night. So I learned a little more English in the church. Take me from that time, March 1st, to July. Take me that long to accept Jesus Christ. In the camp, I meet many, many Christians come to help me, but I had denied it. I believe in Buddhists because my family is Buddhist. Now, I learned that Jesus Christ, the Lord, when I give my life to the Lord in June 81, I look back at my life, the killing field. I say, no way to go back to that field. Go back to country. I say, bye-bye. I come to the country we call the heaven. I'm working to raise my family. I not accept food stamp welfare. I want to working from my own strength. In 3 years, I able to own a house. In 8 years, I able to own the land in the United States. In 12 years, I able to own a business. I sitting, I proud of myself. I am a Christian. I say, my work, I love. This year is 7th annual for me for coming here. I love the work, faith, work. I am a hard at work. I work all the time. So when I become a Christian, I commit myself. I say, I serve the Lord from my labor. I serve by the bus driver. I commit myself to try the bus, that my plan. I try to forget what the past, what I've been lived through it. So that I learned the hard way, I call myself a Christian. Come up to 2005, and we started a church in Dallas, in East Dallas, in Mesquite. I said, well, this, I can serve the Lord over here. I don't need to go to serve the Lord in Cambodia. I build a nice home in Terol. I love to fishing and hunting. So this is my dream home at 2000. So when finished the house, I able to live there for 2 years. When I go to Cambodia in 2005, before I go in, I read one book, an Old Testament book, 2 Kings chapter 7. When I read the story, just my tear coming down, the leper, they say they couldn't die, but they try to go to the camp, try to find the food. I do everything, try to find the food to survive. When I see that story, just hit in my heart. I've been hidden for a long time. The four lepers, only a couple of days. They say they had to take this good news to the city. I have been hiding for many, many years. My fellow Cambodia, starving. They don't have no hope. I have hope in my life. Now, when I read that, I learn that. I need to share the gospel, the good news to Cambodia. In 3 years, 8 months, and 20 days, I do not have hope. Now, when I come to United States, I see the hope. I see the love of Jesus Christ. Why I'm hidden. So that why the killing field is need to be a hoping field. The killing field is need a kingdom field, God kingdom. So like Mike share, he become close brother. The work is so great. God changed my heart. Why I say God changed my heart? Because when I read in Matthew only one time, chapter 5, verse 43 and 4, love your enemy. I close the book. I don't want to see it. Love your neighbor. Vietnam is my first enemy, my neighbor. I don't want to see it. When I go to the school, somehow my instructor showed me, you need to go through this. Love your enemy. Pray for your enemy. I said, no. For me, enough. I had to revenge. I do not know the scripture much that time. Now I confess, God move me. I have a plan. This is my plan. It's a complaint. My son, in 2005, when he finished high school, I say, go to Harding, because in that time I do not know Pepperdine. So Harding is a mission field. I say, my son, go there when he finished taking the Bible major so you can go to Cambodia behalf of me. He don't want to go. I pushing him. He said, Dad, I just do this for you. After 2 years, he come back to me. He said, I change major. I cannot do it Bible major. He said, you, Dad, you go back to Cambodia, not me. I say, I have a nurse in Cambodia. You need to go there to have experience. Well, again, Cambodia, I say bye-bye Cambodia. God say no. I read the story of Jonas. I say, well, Jonah tried to hide from God, run to the west. So come run to the west. Now, so come go back to east. the country is Copenhagen. So Copenhagen, in my mind, God punished them. They do bad things to my family, to me. But the love of God changed my heart. In 2006, my daughter there, when I go to my home village, I bring medicine. I brought miscegenate, rice, go back to my home village. The people that slaughtered my family is there. God changing my heart. I do not have bitterness in me no more. When he saw me, they ran away. I say, come. Come to me. I come not for revenge. I bring the good news of Jesus Christ. So come cannot do it. This word, God, move me, change me. The forgiveness, I cannot make it. God changing me. God changing my life. Thank God. Take me 30, almost 30 years, try to forget about the past. I learned the hard way. I forgot, put God on the side. Then I give up my life. God, please help me. Remove my bitterness. And God did. So when you go back,
let's spin forward and start. This is some of the culture in the villages. Cambodia minivan.
Yeah. I'm glad he can tell you all this because he's there.
This is
the Tyson truck.
Yeah, Kentucky Fried Chicken. This is especially for PETA. Those chickens are all alive. Great food. You don't want to miss the food there. Hog head especially. And we're just going to spin through the children. Yeah. The children in Cambodia are precious. Maybe a third of the children, third of the population is 15 years old or younger. Smiliest little children in the world. And how many is Buddhist?
The country is 95% is Buddhist. And they have 1 million, they call Jam, live in Cambodia, they're Muslim, but they have two different Jam. One is radical, one is just regular Jam, they don't care much. So it's so great. When I went to Cambodia, again, when I looked at today, I show my, say, well, I go to Cambodia in November, 2009. Then I look back. I escaped from Cambodia in November 1979. So exactly 30 years I left the country and go back to the country where I love number three in there. So we go to the village of full of Jam and the Muslim, and they call themselves a Christian. But they're still confused. And anyway, they invite us to go there and teaching them about the new life in Christ. They know all the Old Testament Bible, but they call themselves Christian, but they not look in the New Testament Bible. So we go there and teach him and share him about the Lord's Supper. They say, what do you mean the Lord's Supper? So we teaching to do the cracker, and they cannot find the grape juice, so they find something red color and bring it in and say, well, we just teach you how to do next time you do it right way. So we start doing.
We had sugar cookies and strawberry juice.
So the first time they do a communion, we do communion, some not a Christian yet, still Muslim. And the Muslim do the communion to remember Jesus died on the cross. I sing. It's great. Okay. The Bible school is so come live in Dallas for almost 30 years. Try to get the school, cannot finish school. And I go there, try to My skill is I love to knock the door. In Dallas, because every day after work, I get out from my business, close early, and go straight to East Dallas and knock the door. That I love to knock the door. So bring the people to the church. That how I do it. I don't want to go to Cambodia. I want to knock the door, my next door here. So then go there. I want to work in the village because the village people, what I'm growing from the village. I love the village people. So when we started school, first, might say, well, we not talk about school, but I talk about evangelists in the village. Then I spent like from November 2009 to September. I called Mike, we need to change our strategy. I think not to come, Lord again. You know, when I come back, I go back to Cambodia, I go by faith. I left my business, my wife say, why you left your business? I say, I commit myself to serve the Lord. And the Walnut Hill, they do not have enough support for me to go. And I tell the mission committee, I say, I buy one-way ticket. He says, Sikom, why you do this to me? I've been working here for 25 years. No one do this to me. I say, I did.
He's not talking about me. The mission chairman.
Yeah. He walked away. Then I say, Ronnie, the Lord changed my heart to me except to go back to Cambodia. I survived eating grass. 6-7 times, I've been die already. If I die for the Lord, I'm so happy. I'm very close in heaven. The work, faith is work. I step in the water, not like Peter, but I step and go. Thank you, Peter. Muslim converted. I bring this young man from the village. It's a Muslim village. Bring him, put him in the school. They're not even Christian yet. At that time, I called Mike, we need to start school. You need to raise the fund. He said, again, you support not have enough yet. You give me another job.
I said, not wait me. Till we raise the money, then we'll build onto the school. Too late, brother. Already started. Got to go by faith.
When he get there, this young man not converted yet. We rent the house, and I brought him there, put him next door. Then there's no lock in the front door and the back door, deadlock. And he know the Muslim sleep on the back, but he thought it's a locking door. I want to share it. You share with it.
Well, he's got speaker wire tied on the front door. I got 19 Muslims right next door to me. He's got speaker wire. That's how he's got me securely all by myself on the third and fourth floor. But we had these men. We taught them for over a week, worked with them. Two Buddhists, 19 Muslim, and baptized all of them on Saturday. And on Sunday, Sikom came up to me and he said, brother, he said, did you know that we baptized 19 Muslims yesterday? That was September 11th. And so we baptized 19 Muslims on September 11th, which was, I think, God maybe was saying something there.
Next picture. This young man here, his life is similar to me. I am grow up in a far, close to Vietnam, far away from the city. Never know the city look like. This young man, when I brought him in, I asked him how old. He said, 21. How great you are in school, fifth grade. I asked him to write for me. Cannot even write Khmer language. in fifth grade. He said, why are you in fifth grade? I said, I go to school only 1 hour, 2 hours a day. And my teacher, not help at all. And I learned that myself, I cannot travel more than 2 miles at my home. He the same. I come to the United States when I learned how to deer hunting. I'm sorry, somebody. In Texas, you had to be hunting. So they say deer after they born only travel 2 miles. I say, it's the same Cambodian young man travel only 2 miles from the day they born. So when he come to school now, again, when he come to the school, he's not a Christian, he's a Buddhist. And now he become a great servant of the Lord. He go back home, start what we call a house church. Now he's teaching adult with 20 adults every night. Guess how many hours a night? 3 hours from 7 to 10. One day he come to me, he called me teacher. I say, no, you call me brother or call me Sukkum. I'm just a servant, just a slave to the Lord, not call me teacher. So now I want to respect you. I want to honor you because you're helping me. Anyway, he said, my home is a candle. I don't have no light for study Bible. And can't you do something? We learn about a little later, you will see that home look like. So he's a great young man, commitment, faith, work. Every day, 7 days a week, work all the time. It's great, great. One man over there is a former Buddhist, and this young man, former Muslim. We tell them to serve the Lord's Supper, communion, with the Muslim, former Muslim, and former Buddhist, our student, share at the village people, how we come together and as a brother, not many nations, one nation. So our graduation students second year, so they already go back plenty church, and everyone, we have the third one from the left, and he a good learning English, so I try to train him to take over my work when I able to do. And this first man here, he had to confess. Because when my daughter brought him to school while I'm in the state, when I go back, I say, this man handicapped, why you bring him to school? He unable to speak. His voice tight, do not have, his hand crippled. And he sit in the corner. I love him, number one student in the school. Good preacher, I call him good preacher, old preacher. He working hard, teaching children, 24 little one from age to 12, 25 from 13 up to 18, now every day.
So one of our legs of the work is our Bible school to train young men to become preachers in their villages. And Chum Nan, the one on the bottom left, I didn't know why he was there when I was there in April 2012. And after about 2 days with him, he's got a little squeaky voice. He was electrocuted in a fat clothing factory that he worked in, and it blew out the nerves in his fingers and blew out his vocal cords. He's got this little squeaky voice. And after about 2 days, I told Sukkum, if I came to Cambodia and needed one man to work with, I'd take Chum Nan. Unbelievable faith.
He wanted to be like Paul. He wanted to serve the Lord all the time.
And I'm going to pass out. I didn't do this earlier. If you'd like our newsletter, it's not a solicitation, but if you want, we put out 3-4 reports a year. And it's not a money request ever, but it does keep you informed of the work. But if you want, would like it, if you would fill it out and pass it around. We'll mail out things, our newsletter that we send out.
We have Joe, he's from Gokhort. He went out there every time we graduated. Gokhort Road is our help in the school. It's a great, when we start school, we say, well, we have the fund to do this. And the Gokhot Road stepped in and do all this. Just thank God for them.
Students are not going to be supported. We're helping them become self-supporting, set them up like with goats in their village or cows or chickens, different trades that they will do so that they can be self-supporting rather than us sending money every month. So we're doing microloans 2-3 years down the road. They have to start paying back as their flock or herd of goats starts to multiply. And it teaches them responsibility. They have ownership and don't turn it into a welfare system, and a much better way to do it. And when they need help, we'll help them, but generally they'll be self-supporting. This is the solar panel.
Yeah, that the house, Nian, I talked about early, when he come to school, he told me, he say he have brother and sister, and this home there he live on. And 1 year, they believe a lot of Cambodia, they believe the devil spirit. And this, he's had two brothers and one sister being possessed by the evil spirit. And now that home become a place of worship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone in that home now is a believer. I talk about he's teaching 7 days a week from Monday through Sunday every night. And the solar panel I brought up there, put them so they have light to read the Bible.
No electricity on
the
border.
No electricity. The road take like 4 or 5 miles, take me an hour to get there, just 4 or 5 miles from the main road. How hard it is. Well, again, the work, the Lord has been giving the work, talk about work, work. He's given me a nickname, a slave driver. I don't know whatever. our medical mission is it's the first step that Cambodia opened the door to Cambodia. When I am come to the camp again, I've been saved by our brother and sister in Christ, the word, the love, the work, faith and work. So I take this as my serving the Lord in Cambodia. How I start a medical mission. When I go to Cambodia, a young man, 18 years old, had appendicitis. And he come to me, brother, please pray for me. Doctor tell me only 1 week I gonna die. But I had to have $300 for admit to the hospital. Did not take me in. On that time, I had only $100. And I'm selfish. I'm afraid I don't have no food. The man tell me he gonna die 1 week. I confess, I still kill him, but I do not have it. A month later, I find out he died. Why I give my life, say, my fall. Again, I don't have it. So how we start a medical mission? Then. This is our bus. Dr. Yin, I tell you a little bit about him. He's my enemy, become my brother, become my coworker, become my best friend. The bus with the Vietnamese, with the Malaysian, with American, with the Indonesian,
Philippine,
different people. So we go to the way out there. I call the word boondog, I mean somewhere the bus stuck. We had to dig the ground and move the bus to going.
All of our ministry is in the villages, the remote villages. Most of them don't have electricity, don't have any medical care, and so we do a major medical mission trip every January. This January we treated 8,658 patients. Last year, 11,934, and we've treated over 100,000 patients since 2009. We get dentists that come from the Philippines and eye doctors and Malaysians, Singapore people are coming. We have some U.S. people. In August, we have a pretty good medical mission trip coming up. This picture, Joanna standing by, this is a Muslim village. About 1,000 Muslims all standing around Joanna. She's been killing the slave driver. She's so worn out, she doesn't know anybody's even standing there. She's just looking down at the ground. And
I've been learned it from Pol Pot, work at 4 o'clock in the morning and go back at 8 o'clock at night.
Every day on the bus, he gets on the microphone. I'm so sorry, but we have to get up tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock.
Well, I love the word mission. We are on a mission field. So, again, our medical team and helping, and he's so helpful to the people. This is a doctor from Singapore, and Dr. Yin Kim, gold injection, and we call acupuncture. Is our CVS?
Yeah, Cambodian's very sick.
Cambodia, we see. He put in there Cambodia very sick. So,
waiting for their prescriptions there.
And see, the dentist pool sitting in the grass and working there every day.
Nail the eye chart to the tree. Drag your foot through the dirt.
We thank you for Lion Club provide the eyeglass to us.
Those are the 5,000 pair of eyeglasses.
Yeah. The young man had only one eye. The doctor from Philippines tried to give him a glass for the eyeball. And they enjoy these two young women there from Dallas.
Screwing around.
I gave him a little slight to have a break, so he's smiling. So, well. Kitty, with the children, I want to share, this is public school, elementary public school. When we go to the village, I have make a deal with the chief of the village. I say, we want to bring our doctor and nurse and medicine come to your village, but in condition, you have to find 100 men and women come to study Bible with us. If you cannot find 100 men and women come to study Bible, we're not going to come to your village. So he say, I'm going to do it. Please come. And where the place? In the school, public school. I say, we're going to teach him Bible in the public school? He say, yes, no problem. I look back. My son, one time he told me, he wanted to pray. He had stress. In the school, one time somebody caught him. Not let him pray in the school, and say USA is a Christian country, and not let some student pray in a public school. God opened the door to Cambodia. We can share the gospel in the public school. It's wonderful.
This is Kitty Thrift. Her husband Ron was a professor here at Pepperdine years ago.
And it's my husband.
This is my daughter teaching on the Buddhist temple property. Buddhist temple behind her there.
See, yeah. These children, it's 60 people in this trip.
It's a joy bus.
In the front, inside too, in the back, it's the truck I bring in back to Cambodia. It's my business truck I'm able to bring in to Cambodia to serve the Lord there.
The purpose of this picture, this is a government building that they let us use.
On that county, we're close to Vietnam border. When I go there, they say, well, it's a hot this time of the year. We do not have a place. You can teach the people your God in our building, no problem. The government give us the place to teach the Bible there. It's a public school. The ceiling broken. This elementary school take us about 4.5 hours from the city to go to their place.
No electricity, everything falling in. But they shut down the whole school. Yeah. We go in there for 2 days to each village, shut down the school. Kids get, they don't have to go to school for 2 days. We just take over all the classrooms that we want with doctors, dentists, teach Bible, teach Jesus, have children's Bible classes.
When I see this, I remind me in the Matthew Sermon on the Mount. People all over the field, when the sun shines and hot, they moving on the shape of the tree and move around. It's so great. You know, can I have a minute? When we had a church in Mesquite, we built a nice place. They had the floor is a carpet and the cushion. I work on automotive business. I put the cushion in the chair because people complain it's hard on the wood. So I put the cushion in there. When I go to Cambodia, I go there looking for the church. I ask people, where the church can I go to visit the church? They point the finger there. I say, where? Under the tree. The church under the tree, under the mango tree, under the bamboo tree. And I look back to Dallas. The church, even they have air conditioning, they complain. They have the color not much, they complain. Complain. Welcome to Cambodia. Sit on the floor. Worship God. I working is so joyful. See the people, open heart. Again, in the government building, is a Muslim and Buddhist come to study Bible. They come together and put in one place. The young lady there, all these non-Christian, and my teaching about
Trinity,
God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he asked someone come together and see jumping up and come in front of Muslim and call God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful.
She led the group, no believers, 100 Buddhists and Muslims, and she's going, three persons, one God, they repeat. God the Father, God the Son, they all repeat after her. And I shared that in a church somewhere, and they said, you had a woman speaking there. That was... said, did you hear what I just said? We had a Muslim telling, what are you, good night. Anyway.
Again, a public school, a high school with 1,800 students. That's my hometown. The principal kind of become a friend. Sakom is a Christian, and I make a friend with the Buddhist principal. People judging me say, Sakom, why you go down there, have a friend with the Buddhist believer? Jesus come for the sick, for the sinner. The sick people need a doctor. So they open the school there, welcome anytime. We worship near to the Buddhist statue, and we do a communion there in a public school with 1,800 students there. It's a wonderful. We talk about Jesus on the cross. The people, they never know about what they're for our sin. It's a wonderful lesson. They look at that, my demonstration for them.
Our message is Jesus. Everything is Jesus.
These people, they want to hear me reading the Bible. They never heard the word of Jesus before. So I read to them. They just like a silent night. No pen dropping. This woman here scared Mike. He looked, he stared.
Muslim.
My teaching is a Muslim village. Mike say, we couldn't say bye-bye. We come in and say, what? I forgot the word.
I want to know why she looks so mad. And she said, because you only be here for 2 days, you need to stay for 1 month and tell us more about Jesus.
Then take his deep breath.
Well, I figured first, I could outrun her.
He come to me and say, so come, we're going to go hurry from here. We want to say, but turn around, she wanted us to stay there forever. Cambodia people, the Buddhist and Hindu the same time, so they have evil spirit to protecting them. So they put the bell. And we're teaching about a merge. And one man come to me say, brother, you need to check these people before you baptizing them. I say, what? They wear the voodoo or witchcraft bell. So they take them out. And we burn him in front of people there to show him Jesus is the power of all. So, again, we baptize a Muslim lady in the pond. With American and Cambodia, we had the weather, and American know nothing there. the pond is a leak there, and I'm not telling him after I finish the baptize.
Yeah, the leeches in the water.
Why are we in the waiter?
The waiters are too small for him, so Sakoma has the waiters on, and Mark's out there baptizing in the dirty water with the leeches. The Muslim women wouldn't take their head coverings off. They wanted to have their head coverings on. There's some good drinking water here.
Well, this is a high school. 1 year, we baptized 93 people to the Lord in one day.
93 Buddhists.
Buddhists. In the front of 1,800 students watching in the public school.
The point about that is our medical mission trip has two parts to it. The physical, where we treat the people physically, and the spiritual. We don't have any strings attached. People that don't want to listen, we still treat them. There's no string. We just show the love of God. But the medical mission always has two parts to it, the spiritual and the physical. And then we've started church leadership seminars, working with people. Leaders.
Yeah, when we started, it's like about 17 house church I worked with for 6 months. Then we invite them to come to our school and train them.
Tell them who those three guys are.
Yes, this is 1, 2, 3 here, my former enemy. I work with the commando, we call commando, American trainer. He's a Khmer Rouge, North Vietnam Army. And they enjoy to be work with me now, so we find each other the same area, and now become a partner for Christ. It's working. The Lord is powerful to change our heart. We become 17 and become like 64. Now we work with 264 house churches.
Some of the house church leaders, they'll start a church in their village. But then the neighboring village will hear that they're learning about Jesus, so will you come over and help us? So that guy will go teach them and start a church there, and then pretty soon he's got 3, 4, 5 churches. We had over 260 house church leaders that we trained in January when we were there. They're wide open. They love us because we just lay our Bibles out. We don't have all kinds of other stuff. It's all Bible. They ask a question, it's always turn in your Bible. We'll look, show you in the Bible. And they love the Bible. They want to know more. They're brand new believers. Many of them have never taken the Lord's Supper. Many of them have never been baptized, but they love Jesus, and they want to know, they want to learn more about him from the Bible. And so we had, we get a lot of church leaders.
He find out we need a merge, and he's called himself a Christian for many, many years, and he thought he had saved. Then we represented the book of Acts by second chapter, and to be baptized for forgiveness, and he wants to jump in the water first. He called himself pastor, and even not a merge, so we baptized pastor. I never heard that before. I lived in the U.S. for 30 years. It's a powerful message from Jesus. Toilet. This toilet, I love this. He come to me, he say he faithful Christian, and he planted church, 4 or 5 church, and he kind of embarrassed, he not tell, but he tell his people from the church to baptize. But we spent like, this is 6 years after we started with him, and he come run to the front. When he learned the truth, he say, I thank God I'm not dead yet, and in the front of 200 people, confess himself to the Lord. He say he's a pastor, but do not know the truth.
And Sukom was embarrassed to be baptizing in the toilet area.
And he don't care in the toilet. He want to be saved. So, the woman island. I discovered it 2005. My daughter had experience there, walked through the whole island. The island there, and during the killing field time, they killed 2,000 men. The people of Cambodia believe when the dead people die and the spirit there, so they scared that island. Nobody go in that island. 1985, Cambodia liberation from the Pol Pot in the end of 1979. So from 80 to 85, many young men, young women, they want to go to school, but they don't have no money. So they sell her body, stay on the street. Government tried to clean up the street and put in dumping in the island, and just dumping out there. Nobody take care. They cannot go nowhere because just water's around. So I find out 2005, some kid, growing up, the single mom, they don't have way to go to school. So I asked him, say, no way to go to school. He's 12 years old, 13 years old, do not know how to read, nothing. So I come back, and I cannot stay still. I'm a baker. I try to bake in some money, get enough by the boat for the children there, able to go to school. So
they make bracelets. Those bracelets are out in the front.
Thank you so much for you buy the bracelet that helping her. This lady. Then she say, whole life, never see this much money on her hand. And she say, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for American people to provide, to buy her bracelet. That saved her life. She say, concern her children go to school, this money.
So the first thing we do, I said, what are you gonna do with the money? Well, first we give 10% to the Lord, and then we pay our bills for the rice, and then we use the rest of the money for our children and to buy more rice. And any money like for those bracelets and stuff, there's no administration fee. We take all the money from that, 100% of it, we hand deliver it to the ladies there.
Now, God opened another door. I think might is enough. Before, my he complains to come, now come complain my. We have another ministry because we went out to do a medical mission because the water make people sick all over. So now we're going to drill the water, clean water to the village, poor village. While I'm here, my daughter called me that one is a village, no water. The goat that we put in there is dead because no water. And 75 people live there. It's no water to drink. And we need to keep the water running every day. I have people request 160 right now in the list. And I do not know what I'm going to do. I need your prayer.
We're drilling wells.
I want to share this man. When I get into Cambodia, I go to the village. He walked like a monkey, go around me. I say, I don't have no money. First, I thought they come into looking for money. That, my fault. He not come looking for me, money. He come to ask me as a partner for Christ. He go to knock the door, serving the Lord. He born this way, the whole family. I bought a wheelchair. He give his daughter. That daughter cannot walk. He doing walking and give up his wheelchair. And he say before he die, he want to have a ground, want to have a new body. He born like this. He don't like his body, but he want to share the gospel even he cannot travel. It's encouraged me. This man here is same. He say, I'm a believer. I've been believing Jesus for 3 years, and nobody, when we go there, share Jesus Christ. we not share baptized. We said Jesus Christ. And he learned it. Oh, I thought I'd been saved. My pastor did not tell me I need to go be baptized. They put hand lay on me. And they don't want to baptize me because of my body.
They don't
want to touch you. I hate my body. I want to have a new body. I want to go to heaven right now. We baptize in Christ. And it's a great brother in Christ. Faithful to the Lord. Yeah. The children, we serving as a medical mission, and one day, I want to share this. The Chisel Village, they have 1,500 family, about 5,000 people in that area, and he oversee in that village. He saw my truck, his license plate is NGO. Then he say, what are you doing? Your language seem like not Cambodia, live in Cambodia. Cambodia live somewhere. I say, no, I'm in Cambodia. I'm afraid they're cheating, they corrupt because they want to pay more about for the item I buy from them. We buy the mango tree, put in my sister's place. So I say, if you find a young man come to our Bible school for 2.5 years, I will come to your village. Next day, he called me. I had 2 men. You make a deal, you have to come. So we go to his village and do a medical mission, and the children run around, and Mike asking me, well, this is new village too. I do not know much about this village at all. So I asked the chief leader, he say, this kid here do not have parents. I said, why? They died. The older boy raised the rest. So come up with a friend in Syston, helping them. My daughter involved with them. He's so great. He's a young man now, role in the Bible school. He want to be a preacher. And he's a great kid. The kid eat in the ground. We go to another island. A couple, I learned a lot from them. Lovely couple. They raised 30 children. Nothing too much food to eat. Now they take another 30. I go there, say, stop doing that. I say, I cannot help it. The kid on the street, I cannot pass. I had to pick him up. I say, you cannot even help yourself. I say, I'd rather die. I don't want to go passing these children. So they eat on the floor, the cat, the dog eat with them. I have a little Srinang, my daughter, older than Sapadavi, a lot of lice. So she cleaned the hair and lots of lice, everyone, because they sleep on the floor, on the ground. So, and this little girl here, they put in they don't have no dumpster, but on a trash place under the tree, no parent. So that the lady picked him up.
Parents and were dead. Mm-hmm. The aunt took the little girl, special needs, 2 years old, went to an NGO, a non-government organization, mm-hmm. and was doing shots or something, and said, can you take this baby? And they said, we're not set up to take children. And the woman walked away, put the child at the base of the tree, and just kept walking real fast. So this woman that we work with saw that and went and took the little child, and she spoiled, and all the other kids treated her really, really well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have a place, they build a church place, and so 60 children there, and we involved to helping them, working them.
So the medical missions, the preaching school, the leadership training seminars, the orphans, the water well drilling, we look like a couple of experts, but we're really idiots, that God just keeps opening doors for us, that we just keep going through, and people have been partnering with us, and I've told Sakon this, he won't say it, but for somebody to go through what he went through in Cambodia and to go back to that country, most people, Cambodians, most of them don't want to go back even to visit. Some will go back and visit a little bit, but to go back and live there as a missionary, they don't want to do that. Sakon, God is blessing this ministry because of faithfulness. that faith works, the Pepperdine theme this year, especially, you know, the James 2 is about those men without food and clothing, you know, those who are really hurting. And there's not a place hurting worse than Cambodia. When Pol Pot killed all those people, he killed the doctors, nurses, school teachers, lawyers, business people, government officials, killed off, wiped out the whole infrastructure. And so they are like a brand new country, and that opens up doors because the religious restrictions are so little. We can do just about anything. And God's blessing this ministry because of his faithfulness to sacrifice his life for the cause. And so these 60 orphans falling into our lap is not a curse, it's a great blessing. We don't build orphanages, by the way. We leave the orphans in the village in which they live, and we provide support for other people in the village, cousins, uncles, somebody, to help continue to raise them so that they can grow up in that environment and then become regular citizens in their villages. If you put them in an orphanage, they become institutionalized and won't know how to function when they get older. So we just leave them in their villages, but we have all these hundreds of church leaders that we work with so they can help provide administration for us to make sure the kids are taken care of. We also have 3 full-time doctors who work with us, and they go treat the children. Every 6 to 8 weeks, they go out to the island and treat the children.
Dr. Jin, again, I told you, I want to share this, my former enemy. One day, when I moved to Cambodia in 2009, when I organized a doctor and nurse, and he's there, and I do not know he's my enemy. One is his friend, Dr. Cambodian, he come in and say, well, before we get into business, I want to know you a little bit. I say, what? He say, why you come back to Cambodia? I say, because of the love of Jesus Christ, not me. He said, no, I not believe it, because most Cambodians went to U.S. They have family there, they have business there. You liar. You come for money, woman, and power. I said, no, I'm not there. I'm submit myself to the Lord. I say, what the Lord, what God you believe? I said, Jesus Christ. And he's coming up. Can you tell me your God, Jesus Christ? I do not know why today the word coming to my ear stuck in it. Most of the time, go in and out. So he say, you have time to share what you believe and you have something to show me? I say, yeah, I had the Bible. He say, when you can teach me? I say, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. You pick the time. He say, 5 o'clock in the morning. I say, what? 5 o'clock in the morning, I confess, I can go fishing and hunting in the morning like 4 or 5 o'clock, but I never read or study Bible with someone at 5 o'clock in the morning. I say, I'm here. God sent me here for fish of man. So 5 o'clock, he knocked the door for 3 months. He say, I give up my life. I give my life to the Lord. I'm an atheist. I don't believe nothing. And I find out he's North Vietnamese army. He's a Viet Cong. He's a surgeon. Then, after 3 months, I studied with him through the book of Matthew and book of Acts. After he baptized for 3 months, he come to me and says, come, I want to serve the Lord. I look at him and say, take me many, many years to come in here. He looked at me like a stranger again. I say, you don't want to share the blessing. You want taking yourself. You greedy. I say, you already blessed, you already saved. What else you want? I want to serve the Lord. I say, take your time, brother. No, I want to know. Not tomorrow, now. I say, then he asked me, when Jesus come to earth, what he do? I say, he chose disciple, training disciple. He healing people to show his God, his power, prove his God, his Messiah. What else? I say, why you ask too much? I want to know, what else? Why he healing people? I say, well, he loved. He wants to show his power, what I told you. I want to do like Jesus did. You take care spiritual, I take care physical. I learned a lot from the new Christian. He wants to have blessed from God to serve in the Lord. He wants to work. He wants to have faith and work together, not separate. He wants to be action. He just not, I have faith, I have to show my faith. I have to work to serve the Lord.
But, this is our last slide.
Yeah, he brought the right ones named Tola. After Dr. Yin, he brought him, and him brought Sela in the middle, like a young boy. And Dr. Da, I call him all doctor because he finished medical school. He looked like a 15, but he's 27. he's a great servant. Look at doctor, and I tell him to go this, to go there, take care of the animal. He go take care of animal, and his license is doctor. I love this three guy. He's an administrator. He works side by side. When I'm here, the goat is die. I tell him, you need to take care of the goat. He go out there, take about 3 hours to get there. And some medical need, nighttime, daytime, he be there. He's a new Christian. And he's a really good serving the Lord there.
We can talk for a lot longer. We're going to close. We thank you for staying a little long, but the story of Sacombe's life and what God is doing through him and through the ministry is great. The website is just CambodiaMinistries.org if you want to go look at some things, CambodiaMinistries.org. And let's close with a prayer together. Father, we are amazed at your power, your wisdom, and your love for the Cambodia people. We're so thankful for the work that you do through Sacombe and for others who are serving in your kingdom there. We pray you'll continue to bless all the many works that are going on, that we bring glory to you, not to ourselves, but that the name of Jesus is proclaimed in a great way as we show his love. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you.